Jim, you met the challenge. Next time I'm going to give him the book of Psalm. How many of us enjoy going to the doctors? Same response as first service, by the way. Zero. Not many people do. According to Reuters News Service, in 1994, one London accountant took that to the extreme. The 63-year-old man knew he needed bladder surgery, but he couldn't overcome his fear of doctors and hospitals. So he took matters into his own hands and did what had to be done. He tried to perform surgery on himself. Tragically, he got an infection and later died. The coroner said, unfortunately, this drastic remedy went wrong. A simple operation would have solved the problem. This man died because he didn't trust the doctor or the hospital. Trust impacts all of us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It undergirds and affects the quality of every relationship, every communication, every work project, every business venture, and every effort in which we are engaged. So what is trust? Simply put, trust means confidence. When you trust people, you have confidence in their integrity and in their abilities. When you distrust someone, you're suspicious of their integrity, their capabilities, and even their agenda. Today, there is a crisis of trust. You don't need to look far to realize, as a global society, we have a crisis of trust on our hands. Consider these recent newspaper headlines. Employee new motto, trust no one. Companies urge to rebuild trust. Relationships fall apart as trust dwindles. These headlines reveal the symptoms of a compelling truth. Low trust is everywhere. It permeates our global society, our marketplace, our organizations, our relationships, and our personal lives. Consider our society at large. Trust in almost every societal institution, our government, media, business, healthcare, churches, and political parties is significantly lower than a generation ago. In the United States, a 2005 Harris poll revealed that only 22% of those surveyed tend to trust the media. Only 8% trust political parties. Only 27% trust the government. And only 12% trust big companies. Perhaps even more telling is the loss of trust with regard to people trusting other people. A recent survey conducted by British sociologist David Halpern revealed that only 34% of Americans believe that other people can be trusted. Now, on an organization level, trust within companies has also sharply declined. Research shows only 51% of employees have trust and confidence in senior management. Only 36% believe that their leaders act with honesty and integrity. And over the past 12 months, 76% of employees have observed illegal or unethical conduct on the job, conduct which, if exposed, would seriously violate the public trust. Now, what about trust at the personal relationship level? Trust is a major issue for most people, and too often with their significant relationships, such as their spouse, their friends, co-workers. Relationships of all kinds are built and sustained by trust. They can be broken, destroyed by a lack of trust. Try to imagine any meaningful relationship without it. In fact, low trust is the very definition of a bad relationship. Now, what about trust at the individual level? A recent study revealed college students who cheated in order to improve their odds of getting into graduate school. Liberal arts students, 43% cheated. Education students, 52%. Medical students, 63%. Law students, 63%. And business students, which I was, 75%. How does it make you feel to know that there's more than a 50% chance that the doctor who's going to perform surgery on you cheated in school? or a 75% chance that the company you're going to work for is being led by someone who didn't consider honesty important. Now, society, organizations, and relationships aside, there's an even more fundamental and powerful dimension of trust. That is self-trust. Often we make commitments to ourselves, such as setting goals and making New Year's resolutions, that we fail to fulfill. As a result, we come to feel that we can't even fully trust ourselves. Truly, we are in a crisis of trust. It affects us on all levels, and it has a perpetuating effect. So, who do you trust? Think about your own experience with regard to this question. Who do you trust? Your spouse? Your children? Your parents? Your friend? Your coworker? Your boss? And why do you trust that person? What is it that inspires confidence in that relationship? Now, with all this distrust at all levels of our lives, who is there to trust? Can we trust God? The Bible tells us, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Still, most of us have difficulty trusting God at one point or another in our walk with Him. God's ways often don't make sense to us, especially when we're going through a difficult trial. The truth is, all of us face adversity in various forms and at different times. A best-selling book by a secular psychiatrist put it very well with this statement, life is difficult. Adversity and emotional pain come in many forms. For example, there is the anxiety of a breadwinner who just lost his job, or despair of a young mother who finds out that she has a terminal illness. Many experience dashed hopes, unfulfilled dreams, a business that turned sour, a career that never developed. Still others experience the sting of injustice, the ache of loneliness, the pain of unexpected grief. All these circumstances and many more contribute to the anxiety and emotional pain we all experience at various times and varying degrees. Some pain is sudden, traumatic, and devastating, while other adversities are chronic, persistent, and wears down over time. So the question naturally arises, where is God in all of this? Can we really trust God when adversity strikes and fills our life with pain? Does God come to rescue those who seek Him? Does He deliver those who call upon Him in a day of trouble? In this morning's scripture reading, we read about the life of Job. Job faced a very difficult trial. He lost his livestock and all of his children in one day. And to make matters worse, he lost his health. He was afflicted with boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. However, in the midst of all that pain and suffering, Job responded in this way, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How many of us have ever said that in the midst of our greatest pain and suffering? Probably not many. You see, it's easy to trust God when things are going the way we like them. When the world around us makes sense, it's easy to believe that God is in charge. But when things are turned upside down, you see, it's in the midst of such pain and anguish that faith in God is needed most. The lesson of steadfast trust is one of the most important aspects of character we can gain from any trial. Trust incorporates many things. The more we understand what trust really is, the more we'll be able to confidently walk in God's will. Like many other principles in the Christian life, trust doesn't just happen. It's a learned experience. The only way we can learn to trust God is by going through various experiences that require trust. Simply saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, is far different than actually living it out, being slain, and still trusting him like Job did. You see, for Job, this thing just didn't go away. Job had endured for quite a long time, and he couldn't understand what was happening to him. He didn't know that God had given Satan permission to touch his possessions, his family, and his body. The Lord allowed this for a good reason. He permitted this to happen to Job, and sometimes the Lord permits Satan to touch one of us. Many times we don't understand why we are going through such a hard trial, and we ask God, why? Perhaps you're asking that question right now in your life. Oftentimes we ask many questions regarding the trial that we're experiencing, and that's okay. Sometimes there are reasons why we go through a trial. Trials do have a purpose. They could fortify us. They could prove us. They could test us. And they could prepare us. However, there are times we go through a trial because we've sinned. And we're experiencing the consequences of those sin. If that's the case, we could choose to stop and make it right, or that trial may continue. But the tough one is when God has allowed us to go through a hard time where there appears to be no answer in sight. It is during that time God says to us, trust me. It's during that time he wants us to trust him no matter what is happening. And it's during that time we must trust him. You see, the Lord knows how hectic life could be. And he knows exactly what we need. Sometimes he tells us, be still and know that I am God. At that time, we need to quiet our mind, calm our heart, and realize that God is in control of what is going on. At that moment, we need to listen and allow him to speak to our heart. We need to understand that he's aware of what we need before we ask. We need to wait patiently as he works in us. It may take weeks, months, and sometimes years to complete. What may seem like unanswered prayer is actually his perfect timing for you. As we go through this process, he's always telling us, don't worry about it. I got it. I'm in charge. And we need to be thankful for who he is at that time. He's all powerful. He's all wise. He's all loving. He's all just. He's all patient and much more. He wants us to trust him with our life. Will you do that today? Again, Proverbs 3:5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. This is one of the toughest things to do in the midst of pain and suffering. However, if we do this, we'll find that God will lead us through any trial. But too often we lean on our own understanding, our own insight, rather than relying on his strength. We fail to remember God is faithful to his word. He will do what he has promised to do for those who place their trust in him. Proverbs 3:6 tells us, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We need to know God at that point of our lives. And too often, we don't. We need to know him such a way where we have faith to lean on him, rely on him, and have confidence in him. And when we acknowledge him in our ways, he promises to direct our paths. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Instead of trying to take control, like the man who performed surgery on himself, we need to commit our situation to the Lord. We need to put him in charge, trust him. He'll take care of it. Now, from the book of Job, what can we learn? Often we think no one cares what I'm going through. One of the most overwhelming things about a trial is a sense of isolation. However, be sure that God knows exactly what you're going through. Hebrews tells us we have a high priest who is tested in all ways like us and is therefore able to empathize and give us the needed help. Another thing we can learn is God limits the trial. The first two chapters of Job tell us the conversation between God and Satan. We learn that when God allowed Satan to afflict Job, he set limits on Satan. When we find ourselves in the midst of great adversity, we can keep in mind God established the limits of our trial. Unfortunately, we don't know what those limits are. We don't know the duration or the intensity, but ultimately, God is in control. Another thing we could learn is that God is seeking for us to grow. God has his reasons for what's happening in our life. He often uses trials to stretch our faith. and we grow in times of waiting. But his ultimate purpose is to conform us to the image of his Son, and that's a lifelong process that can't be avoided. Another thing we can learn is the why often proves elusive. How many of us know people who suffered endlessly and can't come up with a reason why? One of the most difficult things is for us to accept is that many of the sufferings we go through can't be explained. Bad things also happen to good people. The bottom line is there are many whys in our life we'll never know the answer to. And trust is even more important at that time. And finally, we must know that God loves us unconditionally. We must know this knowing with our heads, but with our hearts. He loves us no matter what we're going through. We must turn to him, lay our wills and our lives down to him. We have to walk by faith and not by feelings. You see, feelings can fluctuate and change, causing us to doubt. But regardless of the circumstances and our feelings, God's word says nothing can separate us from his love. And know that we could have peace if we focus on the certainty of God's promises. So we must persevere. And the bottom line is we must never give up. Allow me to close with this story. This past week, I was blessed with an opportunity to have a conversation with a man I often saw at the post office. His name was Ed. Ed is a bright, intelligent man who has a great attitude toward life. Every time I see him, he's smiling, and he always has a kind word to say. Ed needed a ride home, so I helped him out. On the way home, we had a conversation about trust. Ed told me he had a lonely childhood. His dad was an alcoholic. He grew up not having many friends and lost his best friend at the age of 22. Ed lived with his parents, and at the age of 40, within a short period of time, he lost both of them, his sister, his sister-in-law, his two young nieces, and many other important people in his life. Soon after, he lost all of his possessions, and over the next several years, he experienced severe depression. During that time, he became very anxious, untrusting, and very angry. He ended up homeless and sleeping inside a truck for 4 years. It was in that truck that he experienced God's love in his life. It was in that darkest moment that he developed trust for God. You see, during those cold winter nights, he asked God to keep him alive throughout the night, and God honored that prayer. That was a turning point in Ed's life. He told me because God brought him through that difficult time, he believed he could trust God with his life. Ed emerged from that trial a new man in Christ. He told me through that experience, he no longer knew about God. He said that he now knew God. He also told me when things are going wrong, he goes to God first. He climbs up on his father's lap and trusts his father no matter what's happening. He ended the conversation by saying, "We could get through any situation. All we need to do is trust him to do it." Now, what about you? Is there something in your life that you're going through? Are you going through a dark moment? Are you willing to trust God to get you through it? Remember, God has a reason for what you're going through. Are you willing to let God do a work in you so he could eventually work through you? Allow him to do that work so you can emerge the person God wants to use for his glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we just thank you, Lord, for always caring for us. So often, Lord, we do ask why we're going through difficult times. In those dark moments, Lord, we ask for your strength, your endurance, and we ask most, Lord, that we'll trust you with all of our heart. Father, help us always to see the picture that you see. that you're trying to form us into the image of your Son. Help us rely on you for who you are. We ask, Father, help us to turn our hearts and minds towards you during that time so that we may emerge the person you want to work through for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.